want wisdom to come out of your mouth, you've got to start applying it in your own life. You know, I pray, you know, so interesting, you know, I pray, you know, every day, God, you know, wisdom is my sister and understanding is my close intimate friend. But, you know, I also need to be careful what comes out. Amen. Praise God. We serve an awesome God, doesn't we? Don't we? Praise God. Why don't we just pray? Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that your word brings life into us. Father, we thank you that your word, Father, is what we need in this time, Father. We thank you so much for what you're about to do through us, Father, in this nation, Father, in this world, Father. We thank you for it, Lord God, and we just take this opportunity this morning just to connect with you on what you've got for us, Father. We thank you so much for it. In your name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I am excited about what God is doing in this season. That was an awesome testimony, someone, of just how you know, just breaking boundaries and not being confined by what's going on in this world, but really being creative and opening up just for the Holy Spirit to give new ideas, because that's what we are. When we are open to what he's doing, he will, you know, he will just give us new exciting things. So praise God. So are you ready for the word?
Yes.
Good. So the title of this message is The Checkup. Okay, so we'll get back to it and explain why that is, but let us just dwell that there for a little bit. So the checkup, what do we mean by that? We'll get to that. So so question, you don't have to answer sort of rhetorically, but how's 2020 been for you? Hey, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, who would have thought that EU exit transition and negotiations for new trade deals would just be a subtitle? Or even like Harry and Meghan's exit was just kind of, you know, kind of a subtitle to this year, because it's been interesting, hasn't it? That's why I say it's been interesting, but it's been a time of pressing. And I loved Anthony's testimony about how God has, you know, God knows everything from the end, doesn't he? And he's got a purpose for us, and we've got to grab hold of that. And, you know, God has a plan for this year. Right. You know, he has. And sometimes we just need to retune into that, because there's been a lot of confusion. There's been a lot of sort of, oh, my goodness, what's going on? Where are you in all this, God? But God is in control. You know, and God is the God of restoration. So if you feel robbed, you know, you're not at the end of it. You know, God is going to restore what the locust has eaten. And I just know that God is going to take us into something new. And you know, I want to ask you as well, what does this year represent for you? Because I believe that we need to change the way we have embraced this year, actually. Because I sometimes feel, gosh, can it just be like December? Or, you know, can we just get into, you know, kind of, you know, let's get this year one done. But there are 4 months left. And I just know that God has some great stuff for us. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
And this is the point I'm meant to say. Are you with me at home as well? I must say, being in the house of God, I know obviously we can't have everyone here, but I just encourage you, if you can, come. Because just being in the presence of God, and I know he's everywhere, but there's something about gathering and just being together and really drawn on God together. So praise God. So we thank God for a pastor who said this is the year of pressing. But also that this is the year that's going to set us up for the decade.
Right.
And I really, really believe that. I believe that what the decisions we make this year and the changes we make in our lives are going to have a implication for this decade.
Right.
I really believe that, so I really want you to grab hold of that. Because sometimes you can think, gosh, you know, what are all those little things that I do? You know, the small, tiny adjustments are the thing that's going to have a big impact on you. You know, think about Anthony when he shared his testimony about, you know, just changing a job, or, you know, but the impact that's had has been immense, hasn't it? So I just know that God's going to do that. So, great. We're into a new season, aren't we? It's coming. I believe that there's a new season coming. And we've been talking about it. And we can sort of think, my goodness, in the world, it doesn't look like that. But I believe that. And God operates in seasons, doesn't he? You know, in this country, we are blessed with four seasons, aren't we? We get the, you know, it's like it's August and it almost feels like it's what it feels like it's October now, doesn't it? The weather is just awful. You know, it's like, you know, who's going to have a barbecue tomorrow? And it's bank holiday. It's kind of, it's just, oh, classic, isn't it? But we've had a wonderful summer, but God operates in seasons for a reason. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes that there's a time for everything and a season for every activity. And season happens for a reason. And the thing is that we need to learn things from every single season we go through. We need to learn from that and be equipped for the next thing, so that we can enter into the new things. So praise God. And you know, God's got a plan, and we've got to make sure that we tap into that plan. Are you with me so far? Good. Great. I'm going to read a scripture from Isaiah 43, verse 19. And it's from the NIV. It's not the Northern Irish, but it's the New International Version. Good. Praise God. So Isaiah 43, 19. It says, "See a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wastelands." I'm going to read this from the version where it says this. "Be alert. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert and rivers in the badlands." I like the fact it's like the Badlands. It's like, you know, it's just really wasted, isn't it? God is making a way through the Badlands, through the desert. You know, that's a miracle, isn't it? That is a miracle. And I believe that God is something new. But what it says here, what I love about it, when I read the scripture, I always focus on the great things, the miracles, the road through the desert. But he says first, be alert and be present. You know, we really need to be alert about what God is doing and what we need to do to be ready for what he has for us in this new season. I really, really strongly believe that. It's not just about the what, it's the how. How we get there. Because God's got great things for us. And, you know, I just feel that this year it's been like one test after the other. And I feel like, you know, sometimes like, God, what is going on? And you know, I felt literally that God has been watching me. Not sort of, oh, you know, I'm going to see if, you know, she's going to mount this one. No, but really God's, it's this thing of his, you know, supportive presence, but just looking. And, you know, there's times where, you know, we've got to embrace those moments where God is allowing us to go through stuff because he wants us to get through the end. And, you know, God is there with us. And I felt through this year that, you know, he's been with me. But there's been some times where it's like, gosh, you know. But it's so important to always ask God, how do you want me to respond to this? What do you want me to do in this? Not just, why am I going through this, God? You know, why? You know, we so easily, you know, whinge about what we're going through rather than embrace, God, how do you want me to go through this? And it's so important because God's got stuff for us. And it's not like, you know, I'm not prophesying by saying that, like, it's not like everything's going to be, like, tomorrow. It's not like it's going to be any more, well, God can do great things. But, you know, I believe that COVID is around for a little while until it's going to disappear. And God, we're going to fight this thing. You know, it's this terrible virus. And it's terrible. But we've got to embrace what God is doing through this time because God has a plan. And it says in Isaiah 55, 8-9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Praise God. God knows the end. Okay? So, back to the title. What was that? Can people remember that? The checkup. Well done back home in your lounge and your, hopefully you're not in your bedroom, unless you're in America, you're allowed then. But so the checkup. So if you've learned to drive, hopefully you have if you're driving a car. I've read this really good article once that says that the best drivers are the people who pass the third time. And I really think that's true. You know, the people pass the third time because they've really been through it. They know the pressure. You know, they know the pressure, don't they? So I believe that's true. Just you know, if you ever want to, you know, don't ask me how many times I, but, you know, third time, just, you know. And, you know, when you're sort of going through that, you know, that this time of, you know, you've getting your driver's license. I got it a bit late. Enjoyed the bus too much. No, I, you know, I, you know, you have to do the, you know, the theory. You have to, like, learn all these signs, and you've got to, you know, drive with a driver's instructor. And I went out with my father-in-law as well on a private road, and that didn't actually, sometimes they say it's better not to drive with your parents or in-laws because it's better to learn by a driver. But he did an amazing job. Thank you, Rod Collins, if you're listening and tuning in. Thank you for that. That's a real sign of trust, isn't it? You let your daughter-in-law drive your car. But you know, there's some tests, aren't there, before we can pass it. And, you know, and also when you get into a car, you know, you've got to check a few things, don't you? Is it what? I've forgotten now. Is it Tim keeps saying it's sort of something about mirror signal. Yeah, that one. mirror signaling and maneuvering or something. But don't worry, it's just ingrained in me. I just do it. So don't worry if you meet me out on the road. But you know, you've got to be alert, don't you? You know, and you've got to check things because it's really dangerous. I mean, the other day I was going to take my son to the nursery, and I was just driving, and this guy was like reversing back into my road. I was like, what's going on? You know, and you know, you split second, you've just got to be alert, don't you? And you've got to check things, and you've got to make sure that you're in the right place. And the three things that God put on my heart that we need to check in this season as we come in to this new thing that God has. And you know, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's 1st of September on Tuesday, and there's a big shift happening now in this nation as well. There's a lot of debate, there's a lot of fear about returning to school, and we really need to pray that God will be done, and that, you know, this virus won't spread more, but also that, you know, kids can come back to school, and it's really important for their well-being. And we just need to pray. But because there's a lot of fear at the moment, aren't there? And there's a lot of debate in the media, and I really want to encourage you just to really hear from God and not fill yourself with all this sort of stuff, but really be guided by the Holy Spirit, because fear is not our portion. And we really need to be, you know, we need to be wise, and we need to follow guidelines. But we gotta not sort of go on the bandwagon of fear and doom and gloom. So the three things that God spoke to me specifically that we need to check in this season, so we can enter into the blessings that what God has for us in this new season. It's first of all, it's check your character. We're gonna go through them a little bit. So say check your character. You can say that after me in your home. Check your character. Change your mindset. And be courageous. So the clever student will have worked out the three letters that are repeated here. So three C's. I always think it's good if you have three things or something, you remember it. So just say to me or to your neighbor, it's the three C's. The three C's. Good. We'll get into them. And God led me to study a little bit the life of David, because David is an amazing character in the Bible, of someone who loved God. He made mistakes, but he had an amazing heart towards God. It says that he was a man after God's heart, because he knew how to pour out his life. He knew how to seek God, but he also had some really important characteristics that we're just going to dig into. And you know, just sort of, I'm going to go into the script a little bit, but just sort of briefly overall, you know, so David was a young man that was anointed to become king when Saul was still around. So it's a bit of politics there. But, you know, he was anointed to become the king. And he then sort of, you know, as a boy, you know, he was fighting. He was a shepherd boy. He had older siblings. And he was fighting lions and bears before he was quite young, actually, protecting the sheep. And he was then called to be a harpist, a great musician, to play for Saul when a tormenting spirit came over him. And he then obviously, well, the big story about David and Goliath, even if he didn't go to Sunday school, you know, we know this story, don't we? You know, I killed Goliath. You know, he killed Goliath, doesn't he? And God then, after some trials and testing, and he then becomes the king. And it's an incredible story, but there's some stuff that we really need to learn about his life. And the first thing is around his character. So the first thing we said we were going to do, we're going to check our character, okay? Because how was David? So look at this. This is in 1 Samuel 16:18, and I'm reading from the New King James. Praise God. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Good. 1 Samuel 16:18. It says here, this is not what this says. This is me providing a bit of context. This is when they were looking to find a harpist who could play for Saul. And it says here, then one of the servants answered and said, look, I've seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. And you know, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because this is not the description of David the king, who's the ruler. This is the description of the boy who at the moment is sort of out looking after sheep. And this was his reputation. That's incredible, isn't it? You know, this is when we're looking for somebody who could come in and serve Saul and play music for him. That's incredible, isn't it? This was David's reputation. You see, before he'd even done it, he'd walked it. And you know, so often we are looking for promotion, saying, God, do this for me. And he's like, yeah, but you know, you need to demonstrate that you can handle this.
Right.
I mentor someone a few people at work, and one of them, he's desperate to get a promotion, saying, oh, you know what, you know, I really feel I'm ready. And I've said to him several times, well, when you demonstrate that you can, because then people will see you.
Right.
Act like a leader. You know, act like you've got the job. It's so important, and I believe that this is what David was doing.
Right.
You know, he was protecting the sheep like, you know, it was the kingdom. You know, he was seen as, you know, he was seen as a man of war. And he probably would have been helping out, but the fact that he was a man of war. And then it says here, you know, that he was prudent in speech. What does prudent mean? Somebody who's showing great care. Somebody who's, he's got good conduct in what he's saying. And what does that mean? Somebody that's careful. It's not like he was fearful, but he watched his mouth. And I just believe, you know, when we talk about character, you know, it's what's in our heart, and then it's what comes out of our mouth. And I really believe that, you know, our tongue is like a rudder, isn't it? It can steer, and it can speak life, and it can speak death. And we really need to watch our words. Not getting tangled in gossip and negativity and fearful talking, but really be careful what we say. Because people will watch it, don't they? And you know, if you want wisdom to come out of your mouth, you've got to start applying it in your own life. You know, I pray, you know, it's so interesting, you know, I pray, you know, every day, God, you know, wisdom is my sister and understanding my close intimate friend. But, you know, I also need to be careful what comes out. Not just, you know, God, give me all this stuff, but really watch our mouth. And, you know, I believe that, you know, David was someone that you could entrust with the secret. He was somebody that you could, you know, who took great care about the things of God. And this is why God could promote him. And also, he didn't complain. Say after me, if you complain, you stay the same. Ask the Israelites. They did that for 40 days. Sorry, no, not 40 days. I wish. 40 years. David didn't complain. Well, you know, he didn't sort of go around, gosh, you know, why have I got this job? You know, why am I doing this? You know, because he was being prepared for the bigger purpose, for the greater picture, for the breakthrough. Are you with me? Praise God. You know, watch our words. And then he was a good steward. In 1 Samuel 17:15, it says that he occasionally went, this is when he came into Saul's palace, he occasionally went and returned from Saul's palace to feed his father's sheep. It's really interesting, isn't it? Like, you know, he's got this amazing promotion, being in the palace. He could have sent, I don't know, somebody else. He could have sent a servant and say, do you want to go and just look after my father's sheep and just check up on them? No. He left the palace, you know, the nice meals, the comfy beds, just to go out and check on the sheep. You know, he was faithful. You know, and then what happens is that A bit later here is that his father asks David to go and check up on his brother. So this is sort of coming into the time and season of, where they were fighting the Philistines, and the people were getting ready, and they were in a camp, and his brothers were in the camp in 1 Samuel 17. And his father says to him, go and check up on your brothers and give them some food and just bring some news back. So David does that. And then it says actually that that he left his sheep with a keeper. And I thought, that's interesting, isn't it? It talks about he left his sheep with a keeper. Why did it say that? Because even when he was sent on a job, he took care. And he was faithful with what he did. And we come into then the passage here in 1 Samuel 17, 28. And this is when he goes into the camp and meets his siblings to bring the food and get the news. And he says here, now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you've come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? And it's really interesting because his brother accuses him for being scatty. Like, where have you left the sheep? You know, why have you come here? And David, you know, was there with a purpose, wasn't he? He was there, you know, he was there to do what his father had asked him, to go and check up and bring news. But you see, back to his character, he said, what have I done now? Probably meaning that, you know, this is not the first time David has been accused of something. You know, what have I done now? As in, you know, this time it's this. And you can sort of read out of that obviously his brothers probably didn't treat him very well. But he didn't get offended. And you see, you know, if you want to conquer and enter into your new season and do all these great things, it's like, you know, don't get offended, okay? Because you don't know what, if David had said, oh, well, that's just anything, I'll just go back home, he would have missed the opportunity to beat the Philistine, to kill Goliath, because this was just about to happen. You see? I honestly think, you know, he could have just thought, oh, gosh, you know, they don't want me here, and I'll just go back home. And yet he would have missed what then comes, that basically he then hears and he sees this Philistine. He's like, you know, I can fight this man. I can fight this giant. You see, so he didn't turn back and think, gosh, what have I done? But he stayed. And, you know, David wasn't scatting. There was a lot of accusations against him, but he looked after what God had given him. And, you know, in Matthew 25, 21, the story of the talents. You know, and it's such a powerful story where Jesus tells the parable about the servant with the five and the twos and the one talent. And, you know, who got rewarded? The two that multiplied, the ones that looked after the talents and multiplied them, and the person who just dug the talent in the ground, oof, I wouldn't want to be him. And there's a story to this, isn't it? If you're faithful with the little, you'll get ruler over much. And David's test was the sheep, wasn't it? You know, he looked after the sheep, and he thought lions and bears. That's quite brave. You think, like, you know, this. Imagine that protecting. You know, you could have thought, oh, just one sheep. You know, will they notice? But he protected them, and in that God could see his character, and he could promote him. So why don't you just tell your neighbor, check your character. Good one. We'll get on to the next one. Praise God. So change your mindset. Wow. You know, these are all things we need to be ready for God has for us as we enter into this new season. You know, we've got to deal with this lockdown mentality. I don't know about you. My son has been watching way too much TV. Victor, if you're listening to me, hello, sweetie. He's down there watching TV on the screen, but he's being quiet, so bless him. He's, for those who don't know, he's 3 years old, so he's allowed. You know what? sometimes we kind of things just creep in on us, doesn't it? You know, we just get a bit too relaxed and sort of just settle into new routines. And it's been really interesting. We've had at work this big debate about returning to work because people feel they have rights now, don't they? You know, it's like, well, I can work. And honestly, you know, it's good and working patterns are changing and people have more time with their families. But there's something in there that people just now feel like, you know, it's my right. You know, I can do what I want, you know. And there's just something that we've got to be really watchful. We've got to really make sure that those, you know, this has been a you know, sometimes it's like, gosh, I'm allowed to watch 10 episodes of Game of Thrones because I've been through it, and you know, I don't know what it is. You know, whatever it is, you know, just watch it, that some of those things haven't crept in. And I really believe that this fast we're going into and this new season is really a moment we can say, you know what, God, I'm ready, I'm alert, I'm ready for this new thing. I'm tuned in to what you've got. It's really important, and that is a mindset thing, you know. You don't win battles with old mindsets. You don't win battles with old mindsets. Praise God. You know, Albert Einstein said this: the definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over again and expecting a different result. You know, we need a new mindset. And what was really interesting, if you fought, if you were a soldier in the Second World War, and, you know, you wouldn't know what cybersecurity was, would you? You'd be like, what, you know. And war changes, doesn't it? You know, and battles are different. You know, the way that Jericho was conquered was very different than some of the other fortresses and some of the other cities. And that is because God has a plan for every single conquest. And we've got to listen and tune into him and being alert. Because, you know, the way that God, you know, the plans that God has, we've got to really know what he wants us to do. You know, remember I said it's not just about the what, it's the how we conquer. And we've got to renew our minds and don't just assume that we do the same thing because it worked last time. Otherwise, you'll end up like Albert Einstein said. Anyway, Romans 12:2 is this great scripture. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, I love the fact that it says, do not conform, be transformed, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. You know, we got to transform our minds first. We've got to ask God to renew our mind. And, you know, David had a winning mentality. That was the mindset he had. You know, he knew, he told Goliath before he killed him what he was going to do to him. That is boldness. Yes. That is, you know, the confidence. And this is the thing. He had a winning mindset because he knew that God was on his side. He had the trust and the confidence. And he didn't use the old methods to fight Goliath. You know, it says here in 1 Samuel 17:38, so Saul clothed, this is when even Saul had doubts about David being able to do this, but David was chosen to go and defeat the Philistine because he basically said, well, I'll do it. The rest of them were just afraid. You see, he had this winning mentality. And it says here in 1 Samuel 17:38, so Saul clothed David with his armor and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. And then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, in a pouch, which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. I don't know about you, but if I was in front of a Goliath, I would be like, you know, my goodness, that would be, you know, the layers of protection that I would want to have on. And yet here, David was like, no, that's not the method. And, you know, he said, instead, no, I've not tested this. This is not the right way. And he picked the right, well, armor, I was going to say, he didn't have an armor, did he? But he picked the right tools, the right equipment, and the 5 stones in his bag to kill Goliath. And the thing is, you know, he had the right mentality, but he also changed tactics. You know, we need to change tactics. Say change tactics to your neighbor. You know, I talked about we don't win the battle in the same way. You know, we don't go into the season the same way. You know, he did something different than what everyone else expected. Not to be different, but because he did what God had called him to do and he was ready. And I just want to, you know, I've been through a season where I've really had to seek God. God, how do you want me to approach this? I don't want to do the same thing. I want to be alert, God. I want to be in tune with what you have. You know, not falling into the old habits and the ways that I think. And it says in Isaiah 55, 8-9, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and thoughts than your thoughts. You know, God has a different way. And sometimes that is a narrow path and an uncomfortable path and a risky path. You know, I'm going through stuff at the moment where I'm like, God, I know you have a way, but I've chosen to say that, you know, God, I'm not going to do the comfortable thing. I'm going to do the thing that you have called for me. And I believe that, you know, we need to get a bit of a it's like a risk mindset that we're not worried about things, you know, because this world is all about risk assessments and being careful. And, you know, we need wisdom. But we shouldn't be confined and constrained, you know, because God has something great for us. Praise God. You know, and we need to change our tactics, okay? And, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, you know, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. And so often we want to lean on our own, you know, the kind of repeat what we've been doing, what I did last year. And, you know, just there's a blank canvas and God wants to put his thoughts and perspective on it. So the last thing is be courageous. Tell your neighbor, be courageous. And you back home as well, you know, be courageous. So that's the third thing we need to do. And it's kind of in line with what we studied here about David. You know, David had a winning mentality. He was courageous. He was bold. It says that he ran towards Goliath. He didn't just hit or think, gosh, you know, should I just test one stone? Or, you know, it says that, I'm going to just read this briefly from 1 Samuel 17, from verse 48. And it says here, so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on the face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran. Again, he ran and he stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Wow. You know, and again, you know, it's like, it's good checkup. You know, how would I do if I saw like the, you know, three times junior size, you know, person in front of me? My goodness. You know, David ran towards him because God was with him and he knew that God was with him. He had the confidence. You know, and he was like, well, the same God that, you know, protected me when I was fighting lions and bears will be the same God. It's the same God that will protect me against Goliath. And I don't know what you're facing. If I could have Aaron, that would be great. You know, I don't know what you're facing or what challenges you are, but I just believe that, you know, God is wanting to set us up for something great. You know, but we've got to be ready. You know, we've got to check our character. We've got to, you know, God is interested in the small things, the little things, our micro behaviors, the things that nobody sees, the things that we say in our heart, out of our mouth. You know, the things that we think, not being used to the same tactics in the same way. You know, God wants us to change. Why don't we just rise up to our feet, praise God. You know, God has an assignment for us. You know, and I want to look back at this year. When we come to December and when we're about to prepare for New Year, I want to look back and say, God, you know, I did what you called me to do this year. I did what you had. It probably looked very different than what I thought when I started. But I did what you called me to do. I stepped up when you wanted me to step up. I said the right things. I had the right attitude. I'm just going to read, just if you close your eyes, if you're at home or here, just read Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to read from two different versions, first New King James and then the Message. It says here, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And the Message says this, this is God's word on the subject. In other words, pay attention. "As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up, and not a day before, I'll show up and I'll take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for." So we're just going to pray right now. Father, I thank you for what you are about to do in our lives, Father. And Father, we say right now, Father, that if there's any character traits, Father, that we need to change, Father, I just pray right now that you would just shine your light. Shine a light on our hearts, Father. Show us, Father, where we need to correct ourselves, Father. Father, show us where our mindset needs to change, Father, so that we don't see things in the old way, but Father, see things from your perspective. Show us your perspective on things, Father, and renew our minds, Father. And Father, we thank you that, you know, we don't do this alone, Father, but you are with us. You've got our back. God, you've got our back. So Father, I thank you for boldness. Father, I thank you right now, Lord God, for everyone that's hearing this in the auditorium or out on the stream. Thank you for boldness to take on the rest of this year and this decade. Father, we thank you for new boldness to conquer new territories, to take on new challenges, Father, to think differently, just to express, Father, your kingdom and your word, Father, new ways, Father. We thank you for that, Lord God. And Father, we thank you that you are faithful. We thank you for your goodness and your power. In your name, amen. Praise God.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.